Time Radio. All sports, all the time. I am luckily the guy who is just getting his rear end kicked by the weather today, and he's Dan the Man. But anyways, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so yeah, if you missed out on tomorrow's, it's still hanging around over there for you, so get on over there and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, my tree.
All right, Dan. I was a little disappointed last night that I didn't end up watching the Astros Rangers game, because early on there were some interesting, let's call them fireworks. They had the home plate umpire was a gentleman by the name of Dan. I believe it's pronounced Coppola, and he had an interesting strike zone would be the way to word it out. Basically, he was just having an off night, and he was all over the place. So the Astros were harping on him. You know, their manager came out twice, A.J. Hinch. The second time, he actually ended up getting himself ejected, and humorously, one of the things that you can actually, I guess they not only picked it up on the field, Mike, but you can basically read Culpa's lips when he's saying it, is he says to A.J. Hinch, "I can do whatever I want to do."
Ooh.
Yeah, Dan, I would have probably punched the guy in the face, and they would have kicked me out of Major League Baseball. So I give A.J. Hinch credit for controlling his emotion, and he actually didn't say anything about it to the media. It was everybody else who noticed it. Obviously, this is just an umpire out of control, right? I mean, what can they do about this?
That recording is going to be in use for why they need to speed up the data they received from the Atlantic League and remove the umpires from calling balls and strikes.
Cool, the robot umpires are coming. Yay!
Which, I mean, it eliminates that, but it also eliminates, which you and I'm sure you're as tired of hearing about it as I am, is the, look at how great he is at pitch framing. No, he's such a great pitch framer. Tyler Flowers is a great pitch framer. I'm so sick of hearing that.
So, yeah, humorously, I can't remember who they were talking to about pitch framing, and the guy made a complete mockery of it, just like you should. And he actually admitted that the catchers who are the best pitch framers are the nicest guys. So they get calls from the umpire because they're nice guys. And the catchers the umpires don't like, or who give the umpire crap, don't get as many calls. So there's your pitch frame for you in a nutshell.
Yeah, which, I mean, basically backs up what David Ross said on whichever network he was on last year during the playoffs.
So there is absolutely no such thing as pitch framing. It doesn't exist. You know, this guy, and I believe this guy was a former catcher. I'm disappointed I can't remember what his name was, but he mentioned that you know how obviously we've all seen it. You see the catcher try to pull the ball into the strike zone. He mentioned that if an umpire sees you do that, there's a better chance that he's actually going to call the pitch a ball because he thinks you're basically trying to fool him.
Well, I mean, Big Jack, I mean, honestly, you know, these guys go through a lot to get into that position to begin with. So you're telling me that they're not watching the ball come out of the pitcher's hand, standing behind, looking over the catcher's shoulder. They're not looking at the pitcher, watching the ball come out of his hand and go across the plate. They're just standing there every day of the night, every day of the week, waiting for the catcher to catch the ball, and then they call it?
Well, no, sometimes these guys are like, you know, you've seen them set up where they seem like they're way on the other side of the plate from where the ball is across. You know, that's kind of what this guy is implying. When they try to get him like that, that they're more often than not going to get the call because the umpire notices them being the glove that much.
You know, I guess I was trying to word it nicely, but basically what you're saying, you know, what the pitch framer theory is saying is that the umpire's too stupid and you're just going to be able to, trick him by moving your glove around. And the umpire's going to be standing there going, I was going to call it a ball, but since you moved it, it's a strike.
So, yeah, I got a you know, a gigantic kick out of listening to him just, you know, what a, you know, crock of BS pitch framing is. And you know, it was just hilarious listening to him. It was like, oh, God, this is great. You know, because you know somewhere, you know, Brian Kenny is sitting there with his analytics trying to figure out some pitch framer going, oh, yeah, look at what a great pitch framer this guy is, when there's really no such thing.
Before we get into, you know, tonight's games, I wanted to, I'm going back with my, hopefully this gets through tonight, my baseball reference stat head newsletter for Thursday, April 4th. You know, yesterday's top performers, they give you about 10 guys. But, you know, apparently unless you're Laurie Garcia, who went 4-for-5 with 3 runs and a stolen base, to be a top performer, you have to hit a minimum of 1 home run.
Oh.
So it just looks, I guess that's what puts you as a top performer. You know, obviously I haven't looked at the numbers of every single guy for every team for last night. But one that stood out to me, and it's a little bit more just because of his contract extension up there in Toronto, was Randal Grichuk. And he went 3-for-4 last night with 2 home runs, 2 RBIs, and 3 runs. Did you tune into any of that game?
Yeah, you know, I saw a little of it. I didn't stay with it long. I got wrapped up in Brewers Cardinals. So I was watching that. They ended up going into extra innings and stuff. So I kind of ended up hanging with that game. And then I went over to the Red Sox A's for a while.
Yeah,
I didn't see the game.
You don't have to worry anymore because Manny Machado hit his first dinger down.
Yeah.
I was going to say San Diego, but I don't know if they were at home yesterday. Were they at home? But yes, they were against Robbie Ray. So he went 1-for-2 last night. And that one home run made him a top performer. But you mentioned the Brewers game, and the winner last night was Freddie Peralta. Again, another thing I want you to note, that in today's or yesterday's top performers, and according to Baseball Reference, when you're a pitcher, they don't list if you won or lost. So they're perpetuating the elimination of whether or not a win or loss means anything. But then again, so does the opener, so I can't blame them completely. But Freddie Peralta, as you know, went 8 innings with 11 strikeouts, and kind of the runner-up would be Jacob DeGrom with 7 innings and 14 Ks. Both these guys gave up no earned runs. Are you pretty on with those two kind of being the pitchers of the night last night?
Yeah, well, I saw most of the Peralta game because that was the early game. Yesterday it was the only one on to start the day off, and he did look really good. It was kind of impressed with how good he looked. It was like, whoa, wait a minute. So I wasn't really expecting that out of him. But yeah, and then, you know, I happened to catch DeGrom's home run. I had the game on when he homered, but I never saw him pitch. I turned the game off before he went back to the mound. But I did catch some highlights of it, and yeah, he was winning last night. So
then to wrap all that up, Cameron Maybin turned 32 today.
Yay.
That's all.
He got a minor league deal with somebody. I'm not sure where he will end up. He did a minor league deal with somebody.
Yeah, but that's how I'm going to wrap up this segment every day.
Maybin's birthday? Oh.
Yeah. With someone's birthday.
Going to be his birthday every day?
No, I meant with whoever's birthday it is for the day.
Oh, okay. I was confused there for a minute. I thought it was just confusing.
Yeah. No, I'm only going to pick one. One, though.
So, well, that's good. Trying to piece my lineup together as we go here. So it's a small, really, really small sample size because it's obviously getaway day. So there's only three games on the nighttime schedule. So I'm trying to make sure I don't end up with too many guys from one team. But I think I did. I think I have too many Angels right now, so I got to eliminate somebody.
Yeah. Speaking of that, last night's home run challenge, I went with the 2, 3, and a 4, Baez, Goldschmidt, and Bregman, and I got a 0.
Yeah, you and me both, buddy. So, I was right there with you. I got a 0. I did hit one the first night. I had Cody Bellinger, so he came through for me on the first night. But yeah, other than that, that was pretty much it for me. I got my battleship sank last night, and you know. You know, I'll try it again tonight and see how it works out for me. But, you know, this has never been my strong suit. I don't, for whatever reason, do very well for whatever reason when it comes to home run derby. I just can't seem to pick the right guys. And, you know, like I know I'm in trouble tonight because I picked Mike Trout. So, We'll see how that goes. I'm going with Mike Trout, Joey Gallo, and Eugenio Suarez tonight as my guys. So we'll see how that works out for me.
Yeah, I'm going with all number fours in the lineup tonight. Suarez, Baez, and Acuna. Should have tried to find another easy.
Yeah, I was a little concerned for my FanDuel lineup here because out of my research, it looks like Matt Harvey is a really good quality under the radar play today as a pitcher, and he only cost me $6,400, so I can get some bigger bats into my lineup throughout it. But I'm really frightened to go with Matt Harvey as my pitcher. So. But we'll see how it goes. We'll take the shot there, and you know, just I don't know. I just don't know.
You know, speaking of fantasy, I do have to ask you: is John Jay worth keeping? I mean, he's only on the DL for 10 days, but when he does get into the season starting and he's opening up with the White Sox, is he a guy you're valuing at all?
You know, I think in the bigger leagues, you gotta figure he's gonna be worth something. You know, I mean, he's a multi-positional outfielder, you know, which means something in, you know, the two leagues you're in because you need the position-specific guys. You know, and you expect him to get a lot of playing time. You know, unless they have other plans, I think he might be, you know, he might be of some value. I mean, I don't think he's an everyday guy, but you know, he'll get the at-bats when you need, you know, you need a fill-in guy, or, you know, a guy's got a day off, or maybe he'll get hot and you can use him a couple days in a row. So, yeah, in the bigger leagues like that, I could see hanging on to him. But, you know, if you're just in a 10 or a 12-team league, there's probably much better guys out there.
But yeah, now, here's one for you. So, in one team that I'm supposed to be co-managing, but somebody won't accept the co-managers thing, for second base, we have Willie Adames and Jed Yurko, who's supposed to be coming off the DL. So this is going to be the absolute weakest position of this team, I think, of both of them. But, I mean, there's no room on this team. I have to get rid of somebody to bring Yurko back in, same as when Kyle Seager comes back off the DL. Well, he's on the 60-day, so that's another topic for way down the line. But, I mean, you're throwing it in the air, and they're predicting Yurko to be more of a utility player. I mean, are you just pretty much screwed in that spot at the moment?
Yeah, you know, I think what killed Yurko is Colton Wong got off to a fantastic start. You know, because he's not going to take away at-bats from Paul DeJong or Matt Carpenter. So the only real opening there on St. Louis was to play some second base. And Wong came out of the gate on fire. So unless something happens, yeah, he looks like the odd man out, or, you know, he'll just be the guy who spells whoever needs the day off. I mean, he can play all four infield positions. So, you know, that's a big plus for a utility guy. And, you know, it's just going to work, you know, just going to work that way for him. He's, you know, got hurt at the wrong time.
So, I mean, it's been, it hasn't been a struggle putting, you know, together this team and filling it back in, but it was just that one position, because I got to look at it again. Unfortunately, this team is going up against Mr. Fantasy, and, I mean, down by 6 points. It'd be more fun to beat him. But, I mean, that's kind of been my biggest challenge working with that team. Was, you know, second base is in a huge position in the major league to begin with. So you're looking at Jose Altuve and a handful of other guys, and then it's like, oh, if you didn't get one of the top six guys, you're kind of scrambling there. And then with that, I'm like, you know, just trying to fill it and find someone who's going to be playing every day. Because I don't think DJ LeMahieu is available.
You know, there's always, you know, positions like that. I know in our money league, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I waited on catcher, and I actually had a plan, and that went back to where he started skipping me in the draft. You know, he decided to no longer consult me. So our catchers now are Mitch Garver, who plays part-time for the Twins, and Chance Sisko, who starts in AAA for the Orioles. So,
I mean, Jesus Sucre is not available. He's an Orioles catcher.
Oh, I don't know. Our pickups, we're only allowed to do pickups once a week. So we can't do anything this weekend, so I haven't even looked yet. But, yeah, it was just the process of, you know, if you share a team with somebody, you should probably clue them in so you don't get stuck with situations like this. So.
Yeah. And one more off-the-wall injury question. If you're a man who could barely walk upstairs, you sit on the second level of the train when it takes you almost 5 minutes to go up and down three stairs.
I would do it just to piss people off. Maybe. So, yeah. You know. Just kind of how things go, but you know. What do we have? you know, looks like we have three finals today already. I think there are three. There may be more. Roll down the page. The Tigers beat the Royals 5-4. The Nationals shut out the Mets 4-0, and the Yankees finally figured out how to beat the Orioles. They won 8-4. So there you go. Live, what's rolling on right now, the A's are again beating the Red Sox 7-3 in the top of the ninth. And the Blue Jays and the Indians are 0-0 in the top of the third. So there you go. The games that haven't started yet, of course, we have the embarrassment of the Chicago Cubs at 1-4 against the Atlanta Braves, who are 2-3. The White Sox game was postponed. We have the Reds at the Pirates, which should be started. Actually, should have started by now. Oh, no, 6:05. Sorry, I thought that was Eastern time. So it starts pretty soon. And then the night game tonight is the Rangers at the Angels. So,
now approaching
Tinley Park. You know, obviously being Thursday, it's a shorter schedule. And the Padres at the Cardinals, of course, was the other game that was postponed because of the forecasted weather we had. Both those were canceled yesterday. So.
Yeah, I was going to mention today would have been a great day to sit out in the outfield and then go back under for cover and then go back out there and then go back out, back and forth. But did you have to catch any?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be anybody there to see. Jeez.
Yeah. Did you happen to watch any of the Bronx Bombers? Because all their runs came in on home runs today.
Yeah, no, I didn't watch a lot of that game, just bits and pieces. I just wasn't that interested in it. I think they were I know the Nationals and Mets were the MLB game that they showed today, but I think they cut away to the Orioles, Yankees after it was over, and I just wasn't all that into it. There was nothing attractive about it for me. I don't know what it was.
Did it have to do with the fact that they're playing the Orioles?
No, it was just one of those weird things. I mean, I can't really, put my finger on it and say this is why or that's why. I just didn't really want to watch it today. So I was kind of putzing around doing other things. I watched a good chunk of the Mets-Nationals game because I wanted to see that. It was Strasburg against Syndergaard.
Yeah.
But maybe it is the fact, but the Orioles have been playing better right out of the gate, than I think anybody expected. I think maybe it's the fact that I realized that I'm going to see the Yankees 100 times this year anyways. So it's just not that interesting to me right out of the gate.
Yeah, but, speaking of interesting and the Orioles, former Oriole Adam Jones the other day, I keep forgetting, it's so weird to see him in a Diamondbacks uniform. He actually had a fan ejected. Well, he didn't do it personally himself, but you know how that goes. For pretty much, for bad language. He's quoted as saying, he's okay with, standing out there and getting yelled at that, he sucks or, he's on the Diamondbacks, so the Diamondbacks suck or, a few other choice words. But he said once the profanity starts, he's just not having it. So, I mean, I don't know. I didn't disagree with it. I mean, I don't know. I don't think he was in the wrong at all. How are you feeling?
Well, this is weird because, Adam Jones was the guy who had this happen in Fenway to him where, all the racial slurs came out. So I don't know why, he seems like a decent guy, and I just can't figure out why this kind of stuff keeps happening to them. So
no, but I mean, and just in the grand scheme of things, I mean, I don't want to say encourage, and everyone's got to get out there and start picking on everybody. But I mean, do you think this just helps the family-friendly atmosphere, so to speak? I get it. Everyone's going to go out there and have a drink here and there and a few beers and whatnot, but the days of, cursing out the pitcher and the outfielder and the whatever, are you kind of over it too? Like, show some class.
Yeah,
grow up.
I think in today's society, it's not something that is going to be tolerated for any, you know, any period of time. I'm sure you could get away with yelling here or there, or, you know, a couple things here or there. But if you're going to, you know, if you're going to carry on, you know, in this case, Adam Jones said something, but if not, you know, somebody sitting next to you is going to turn you in. So.
Well, and I mean, you don't even have to get up to tell anybody now. You can just text security,
yeah.
Which makes it a lot easier.
You know, yeah, because I remember, yeah, this was, I don't know how many years now, but it was a long time ago. When I could still kind of get around, I actually went to a concert, and the guy in the row in front of me was just control. I don't know what he was on, but he was out of line. And the people sitting next to him had thrown out because it was just ruining the experience for everybody. So, yeah, I can just imagine, you know, in a game, you know, that kind of, you know, kind of the same thing.
Well, and it's funny,
yeah,
because I remember when I first started going to the WWE events in the early 2000s, you know, you still had the quote-unquote attitude era going on. And, you know, Mr. Vince McMahon would get out there and he'd say a couple of things, and within minutes, you'd have the entire crowd chanting a-hole, you know, and during commercial breaks, there'd always be some young lady flashing, you know, whoever's in the ring. Fast forward, you know, not even 5 years later, and it was almost completely unacceptable. You know, no one was chanting a-hole, a-hole. And nobody was flashing anybody anymore.
Well, that's disappointing. I mean, well. Man, well, you know what? I mean, I guess the thing that always kind of baffled me, and it was just something I wasn't really all that interested in, is why do I want to go to a game, spend all that money on a ticket, and then get blasted out of my mind spending all that money on alcohol? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, these are hefty prices here. You know,
oh, yeah.
I think, oh, what is it, $10 a beer? So,
pretty much now.
You know, I don't get that. I mean, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, no, I've never been one for spending the day drinking. Never been one for spending the day drinking at the games and whatnot. I used to actually keep score, but with the digital age, everything, it's kind of lost its fun with, you know, buying the pencil for a quarter. Well, and, you know, they don't even just sell stupid scorecards anymore for a buck. The prices get up, and they want you to buy more of a program with the scorecard in it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, the scorecard's in it. And I'm like, well, I just want the scorecard. I don't need the whole program. But, you know how that goes. So it's kind of lost its luster. But I'm right up there with you. I mean, when I go to Cubs games, which I haven't gone since they won the World Series, it's just the price is crazy. Sit in the bleachers, you know, you don't even get an assigned seat. You're paying $80 to $100 a ticket. Unless it's against the Pirates on a weekday in April. You know, I always stop and eat before and bring a liter of water, because that's the only thing you could bring in is an unopened liter of water. You know, I getting a pop, you know, a Coke or Pepsi or whatever. I prefer Dr. Pepper. Can run you up like $6-$7. So, you know, I'm like you. I'd go there to enjoy the game, and, you know, I try to find my wife that fancy, not fancy, but, you know, that one food item that you're not going to get, you know, anywhere around where we live. Going to White Sox games, it always cracks me up, the amount of people who get Beggar's Pizza. It doesn't crack me up, but I'm not going to spend all that money on one slice when, you know, I could drive down to Beggars anytime I want and, you know, pick up a slice, which even I don't even like doing there because it's still like $4 for one piece of pizza. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I, you know, like even when, you know, we, when it was more affordable and we used to go to more games, you know, I mean, a beer or two, and that was maybe it while I was there. Because, like I said, I wanna watch the game. I wanna remember what I saw on the way home. You know, mm-hmm. You know, we had to take, you know, the train home or drive home or whatever. And obviously, you know, as you know, I live a long way away from there. So, you know, I don't want to be, you know, that idiot. But yeah, I know plenty of guys, you know, that want, you know, when I stopped going to the games, they would go to games and, you know, get on the train and sleep all the way home and miss their stop because they were still passed out from drinking so much. So yeah, it's just kind of like, okay, probably not that smart.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing. Like we mentioned, you know, you can sit there in your seat and they can make the announcements previously, I think throughout the game, and you see it on the scoreboard. Now that every single team has a scoreboard, isn't that ironic? But yet they can't figure out how to do instant replay correctly.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can text in, and I don't think it's a bad thing if there's a few more guys in the field like Adam Jones who are going to call out people and get them removed for just being complete idiots. You know, and maybe not even just get them removed, make them publicly apologize.
You know, and I mean, you have to kind of look at it because you're getting to the point now where your daughter is becoming old enough to understand all this stuff. How's it going to be when you take her to a game, you know, and you're sitting next to that idiot? You know, or he's two rows in front of you.
You know, and I can't hit him because I'll get kicked out and they might leave her behind if they don't arrest me.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I don't know. I, like I said, I didn't think it was a bad thing. I didn't think you were going to disagree with me, but I just kind of wanted to get your take on it. I do have another question for you, which it just kind of, you know, I was watching the games. One of the games over the weekend, I was driving my wife a little nuts, but she gets it. I had her iPad going, my two. I have an old one, and then I have a mini that I got for free from when she got a cell phone a few years back. So I had all three of those set up with three games going on, and after we watched whatever movie my daughter wanted to watch, I immediately went to another game, which I had on Seattle over the weekend. And the one thing that, you know, she immediately, it was cracking me up because it was like 9 o'clock at night, 9:30. She goes, are we watching the Cubs game? No, it'd be like, you know, they don't start that late in Wrigley. But it was, like I said, it was Seattle. And I know you're not overly excited about the T-Mobile, whatever they call it now. And I didn't really think about looking into it till this moment. But did they do some remodeling to their stadium? Because I feel like that behind the backstop, behind the catcher, wasn't always a brick wall. And now it's a little bit more, you know, that traditional baseball style that everyone's seemingly going with now. Have you noticed that? And, you know, I think it brightens it up. To me, I don't even recognize it completely as Safeco Field. It seems a little bit more like an open-air traditional baseball stadium to me. And I know they didn't switch stadiums because that would have been a big talk. You know, obviously the Kingdom's gone.
Yes. So, yeah, well, maybe, you know, maybe they made some changes to, you know, make it feel different with the name change. So,
well, no,
I also look next time I catch their game and see if it's, I didn't even notice it, you know, while I had it on the other day, so.
Yeah, well, something to look into. I don't know, I just, it just has a different feel when you're watching those games.
You know, it's like now I have to pay attention to the fans behind home plate ever since that, you know, older lady didn't flinch for the foul ball in Toronto.
Well, she's just, she knows what's up. She sees the netting. And...
Yeah, obviously. Apparently she's a season ticket holder, so it's not the first time it happened, and she knows there's a net there. So it's like, you know, I mean, I get it. A lot of people, like you, would probably fell down and cried, curled up in a ball. So, but, you know. I wouldn't have been fast enough. Well, I'd have had to stay there and just.
I was just going to say your reaction time wouldn't be there.
Yeah, Mr. Fantasy would have run stairs away from it or wherever he could have ran. So, you know. But, yeah, I got a kick out of it. And then I guess, did you see it happen to her again? Did you see the second one? I thought it was really funny. It hit the net, and then she turned to her friend, and she just, like, threw both her hands up like she was faking a reaction, which was funnier than the first one. So,
no, but I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Yeah, it was a delayed reaction, like 10 seconds after it happened. She realized she needed to have a reaction, so, you know, they wouldn't put her all over TV or whatever, so she just kind of threw her hands up real quick, and it was funny. So, but yeah, it's always humorous when you run across the fans like that. So we shall see. Oh, so I was trying to think what else did I see? Or what else, you know, I sometimes I get so much going on in my head that it's just, it's not safe and I can't remember, you know, what is what or how it kind of goes on. But, I know the Yankees did officially put Troy Tulowitzki on the disabled list. So, we kind of all knew that was going to happen after yesterday. So, you know, we'll see how long, you know, how long the injury lasts. And I do seem to hear, it's kind of weird, but lately I've noticed – a lot of people jumping on the Tampa Bay Rays bandwagon. I don't know if you guys want to look it up or if you catch it there. Jose Alvarado threw a 99-mile-an-hour fastball that literally made a left-hand turn to strike a guy out last night. Just one of the most wickedest pitches I've ever seen. I mean, you know, I've seen guys throw screwballs before, but, you know, those are 80, 85 miles an hour. This pitch was 99 miles an hour with movement like that. It was just really awesome. You know, I mean, if he can pitch like that, nobody's going to touch him this year. But, yeah, that led guys to kind of jump on, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays bandwagon. And, like, I heard one guy say today that they have the best pitching staff in baseball. And I don't know if I was really that on board with the Rays. I mean, obviously, you know, Blake Snell is a Cy Young winner, and he's one of the top pitchers in the American League. But, you know, after that, what are we looking at after Snell? I mean, they signed Charlie Morton, who, you know, he had a good year with the Astros, but there's really not a big resume for him. You know, Yanni Chirinos made a start, and then Tyler Glasnow made a start for them. You know, this isn't exactly – oh, and I forgot Ryan Stanek had the other start there. He was just the opener, though. But, yeah, you know, I mean, that's the best pitching staff in baseball. Maybe we ought to wait.
By default, the Orioles are second best pitching staff.
Yeah, I said, it was just kind of baffling, you know, because, you know, obviously we're seven games in. Do we really need to be saying this is the best this or this is the best that at that point? I mean, you know, I'll give you Blake Snell, even though he's only 1-1. Chirinos had one good outing. You know, Alvarado looked filthy yesterday. He hasn't given up a run in his four innings. But, again, it's four innings. Let's, you know, hold the, you know, let's not plan the World Series parade yet. And I don't see this being the best pitching staff in baseball, I was just kind of like, wait, what?
So. Yeah, well, Big Jack, your favorite time of the year has come super early, because if the season ended today, Milwaukee would be taking on it would be Milwaukee, Philly, the Dodgers, and then the Mets, and the Mets. So there you go. Hey, there's the National League Championship Series, right?
I get the AL East is a little goofy. The Rays are 5-2. The Orioles are 4-3. You know, the Yankees and the Red Sox are at the bottom of the division. Yeah, you know, they've played 7 or 8 games. You know, Seattle is 7-1, and I'm ecstatic about that, because I honestly expected them to come out of the gate 1-7. But they're not winning the West, guys. Sorry. As much as I would love them to, they're not winning the AL.
Yeah, Milwaukee's 7-1 also.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why I always laugh. Like, I got the email from Schomburg Stu before you and I started. He was jokingly about how you and I were going to talk about the Cubs winning the division. And then, you know, his final comment was, wait till next year. Well, I get it. They've been disappointing. They're 4-1. They played 5 games. So, you know, I mean, I'm just still chuckling over the fact about how right I was about this bullpen, and you're the only one who will give me any credit for it. You know, nobody. Oh, you never said that. What are you talking about? Well, obviously, you didn't listen to the podcast. So, but that's been my thing. But yeah, you know, it's 5 games. You know, I mean, they could suck for a whole month and still come back and win the division. You know, I mean, if you think Milwaukee is winning 6 of every 7 games, yeah, you're a little off your rocker there. So, you know, but yeah, it's just, you know, it's too early to start saying, you know, like I think Mr. Fantasy even said something to me about how Christian Yelich is the MVP. Yeah, he's played 7 games. All right, you know. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt did hit 3 homers in 1 game. Can't we give it to him? You know, and we all know that my picks are going to be correct as it is. So, you know. Well, maybe you'll win the American League because you punked out and took Mike Trout, but that doesn't count. So you're not getting a Mike Trout.
Yeah, well, sadly, unless it's not made by Fanatics, I don't want it anyway.
Maybe you get a Tommy LaStella shirt.
Oh, they don't even make those.
Why, who are you fighting with that it's only Fanatics now? What did you do?
No, I didn't do anything. I mean, a couple of years back, you remember Corey Seager? He won the Rookie of the Year. I picked him to win. The way our picks went, we all just kind of canceled each other out, so there was no, you know, it would have just been me buying you something, so you buy me, whatever. So I just bought myself the one. I actually got a 100% full refund because it wasn't centered, number one. So it was, like, to the right of my chest. And within 6 months of washing it, I mean, the quality of the T-shirt was really nice. Like, I actually still wear the T-shirt when I'm just doing crap around the house. But within 6 months, the paint had chipped off so much so that a year later, there is nothing on the shirt. It's blank. There's nothing. And, you know, people are like, oh, well, they, you know, the paint chips and it fades. I have T-shirts. I have Starlin Castro shirt. I've worn it a million times. I don't wear it as much, obviously, since he left for the Yankees, but it didn't chip off in a year. Like, it's gone. You can't even see Kyle Seager on it. So I don't know if their quality has gotten any better, but I'm always fearful of their Fanatics branded done shirts, because they want to charge you $30 for $5 work.
Yeah, it's weird because I haven't had a problem. You know, all the stuff I have is still, you know, really good and really intact.
No, well, no, you got to – well, check your tags. Well, they don't make tags. You know, unfortunately, they stopped doing tags. They just put the imprint on the back of the shirt now, which you don't get that little itch tickle anymore. Some of them are fine, but that one in particular, they just, I was like, who made this crap?
Oh, you know, as long as those, you know, that Winnipeg Jets gear stays good, that's all that matters. So.
Yeah, well, and it makes you feel better. My daughter's really into dresses now. So,
so I got to find the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
You know. So.
No, I meant the Seahawks stuff. She's been sporting that. Well, you know, I mean,
yep.
We're way off topic, but the odd thing was you picked technically the right size for her, but she just wasn't big enough. So now they're all fitting perfectly, and she's loving the dresses.
So, yeah, it's like shooting fish in a barrel, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, you get your bigger, you know, if they're bigger eventually, you know, that's why I buy my clothes, because I get mine bigger, because eventually I'm going to get fatter and fit into them. I figured your daughter would grow. So I used the same strategy. So,
well, the oddest one, though, is I have two Mitchell and Ness t-shirts. They're both for you. The Los Angeles Angels. It's a 2X that looks like a 4X. And then the Ricky Henderson, which is a 2X that looks like a large.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't win.
No, yeah, that's always weird. You know, I did notice the jerseys seem to be cut smaller than, like, the T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one thing I've noticed about their e-commerce stuff is, for whatever reason, I don't know, it's got to be the maker, you know, whoever's making them, of course. But, yeah, even, like, the Reggie Jackson one you got me, the jersey is cut so much smaller than the T-shirts. So.
Unless you're talking hockey, because those things are cut bigger for some reason.
Well, that's how, you know, they are for the players. They're cut bigger for the players, which would be nice. You know, I don't
know.
We'll
see
if there's a Boston Bufflin available when your daughter's got a birthday coming on. So
it's not like, you know, the Ovechkin I sent back to get a smaller size. They're, you know, they questioned me, like, well, what's wrong with it? I'm like, nothing. I'm like, it goes, like, 3 and 5 inches almost past my fingertips. Like, I look like I'm wearing my grandpa's old clothes, you know?
Well, you know, maybe. So.
Yeah. I'm like, just send me the smaller size. I don't want the money. I want the jersey. This is freaking Alex Ovechkin going down as one of the best players in hockey history. And I've got his jersey. Thank you.
You know, I should have got you like Tom Wilson or something like that.
Just not Justin Wilson from the Mets. Who, back to baseball and statistical crap. He's the first person who has a win, loss, and a save to open the season.
Oh, you know, can't go wrong with that, right?
No, you can't.
You know, definitely.
I was going to ask you who you're going to be watching tonight, but I wanted to kind of divert just for a second. Last night we were watching the Cubs. I don't know how much of that you were watching. Forget it. It was on a national network, I believe. Was that last night or the other? I don't know which night I tweeted you, but, man, they were playing so bad that they actually switched to a different game for a while.
I think that was two nights ago.
Was that two nights ago?
Yeah.
So that was interesting. Last night, I don't even know what inning it was. And my wife's like, well, how much longer until this game's over? I'm like, it's over. Go to bed.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, interestingly, tonight there really isn't, you know, a gigantic selection. You know, the Cubs game is going to start here in a minute, and then there's only one 9 o'clock game. The other two games are, you know, going Toronto at Cleveland and Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. So, you know, everything else was earlier postponed. So, yeah, mm-hmm. It's not like I have a large amount of choices. You know, and, you know, to be fair, I am a little interested to see how Yu Darvish pitches his second time out. You know, I wonder how much being in Texas for, I think it was his first time back there, and, you know, all facing the Rangers and all that, that kind of stuff may have had him pressing a little bit. So I want to see if maybe he's better tonight against Atlanta. If not, then I think they might have a problem. So, you know, that's of interest to me. And then obviously I'm going with Matt Harvey and FanDuel. So I've got a rooting interest in that one, which also explains why I took Joey Gallo in Home Run Derby, because I have such bad luck. At least I got my bases covered. So, you know, that should work.
I went with Javi Swanson. He had a nice one yesterday, but I don't know if he's going to go back-to-back. So I'll be lucky if I get one like I did the other night, my Christian lineup. And now I'm not talking about the religion. Christian Yelich, Christian Vasquez, and Christian Walker, I believe his name is.
Yes. So, I got one. You know, thanks to Cody Bellinger, I got Nada last night, which is no surprise. You know, if you remember how this went for Dan and I last year, Dan would get a couple a day or, you know, get close to winning every now and then. He'd get three or four, and I'd get zero. And zero, and then another zero. So we'll see. Mike Trout's going to come through for me tonight. I'm going to get two out of Mike Trout and two out of Joey Gallo, and I don't know who my other guy is, but he's going to hit one, and I'm going to have five. So I'm all set. And then I'm going to get beat by somebody who got six.
Hey, but as long as you keep them up during the week, I hope they do that weekly prize.
You know, except I'd probably get zero the rest of the week. And, you know, just, you know, I mentioned Darvish was pitching for the Cubs. It's Max Fried for the Braves tonight. And then with Harvey going for the Angels, he's facing Edison Volquez. So that's where you are there. And then your winners for earlier, Dan, I don't know if you had any of these guys, but Blaine Hardy got the win for the Tigers. Steven Strasburg picked up the win for the Nationals. Former Seattle Mariner great James Paxton got the win for the Yankees. And then former Cub great Brett Anderson picks up the win for the Red Sox. The only save in the early game was Sean Green of the Tigers picked one up there. So, you know, if you're playing your weekly, if you're in the early stuff with FanDuel, you know, or DraftKings or Yahoo or whoever you're playing daily with, maybe you had one of those guys and they put something for you or got you a W. You know, and then the game's going on. Toronto has Aaron Sanchez starting for them. Cleveland is going with my pick to win the American League Cy Young. That would be Trevor Bauer. Cincinnati has Tyler Mahle starting tonight, and Pittsburgh is going with Jordan Lyles. Those games are both underway right now. So, obviously, if you're locked in, you're locked in. You're not going to be able to swap anybody out there. So, there you go. We're all set. Look at that. Now, I don't know if you saw this one, Dan, but I found it kind of, I guess I want to call it shady. Apparently, the AAF players are just kind of stuck. You know, the league provided housing for them, and now that they've suspended operations, nobody seems to know what's going on with these guys. So I thought it was kind of crappy of the league to just leave these guys hanging, don't you?
Yeah, well, you have to assume with the money that was put in that they're still getting somewhat of a paycheck. Tell by my inflection, I know nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I did see a couple of their players, a wide receiver by the name of Rashad Ross, and then a defensive back by the name of Keith Reeser, each signed with NFL teams. Ross got a contract with the Carolina Panthers, and Reeser signed with the Kansas City Chiefs, who he had actually played for. I don't know if he played, but I think he may have been on the practice squad or something. But he was on the Chiefs roster last year. So, you know, at least a couple guys got something going on, but Yeah, it seems like a lot of these guys are just kind of like, hey, good luck getting home, guys. So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we'll, you know, we'll ever see any of these guys again, or, you know, maybe they'll pop up in the NFL as special teamers or something, but it just seems like the league didn't take care of them.
Well, these are, a lot of them are practice squad guys, ain't it?
Yeah, I don't really know if they were practice squad guys, or I know like a lot of the quarterbacks were just like, you know, the last cuts. You know, teams like to keep 3 or 4 quarterbacks around through preseason, you know, and then right after the last game, they chop all these guys because obviously they don't need them. You know, some teams just go with 2 quarterbacks like the Patriots do, and other teams carry 3. So, yeah, you know, like a lot of those guys hung around till late. But, yeah, I don't know how many guys were actually on NFL rosters. I don't think it was too many. But, you know, there may have been a few on practice squads or, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, we'll see. And I know, I don't know if this was the other thing. Apparently, FanDuel, there were wagers on FanDuel about, like, who would win the league and stuff. And FanDuel decided that the AAF champion was the Orlando Hotshots, and they actually went ahead and paid off all the bets they had on them. So,
I mean,
yeah, I
for
thought
those
that was
guys,
interesting.
But isn't that kind of shady practice?
Well, I guess it's better to pay off something, you know, than nothing. I don't really know what their other options were. I mean, what else do you think they could have done?
I mean, all that money, you know, obviously it has to be held. You know, you can't spend future income. Well, I mean, you can, but if they allocate it like that, you know, one of the, like when a business, when they do gift cards, technically, you know, you put that in a separate account as future income. So it's not, you know, revenue technically until it's over, until it's redeemed. So I don't know the logistics on, you know, the gambling, but I would assume it's almost in that same similar situation where it can't really be considered a revenue or a loss for the company until it actually takes place. So, I mean, if those wagers were out there, I would have thought the best practice would be to throw that money back to those players. Because, say, I picked San Antonio, and, you know, that's because that's the only other team I kind of know of. but if they were, you know, the second place team, I'd be kind of, you know, pissed off if they just went ahead and paid out all the Orlandos and I got nothing.
I was actually it's the Orlando Apollo, not the Hotshots. The Hotshots were the Arizona team. But, yeah, Orlando was 7-1, and there were 3 teams at 5-3. I don't know. Maybe they did return the rest of the money. I didn't read the article. Maybe I'll have to go back and see if I can find it. I just saw that they had declared Orlando the champion, and they were paying off all the wagers on Orlando. So,
wow.
I'm going to look live in the moment. I think you're going to look at 25 minutes.